in, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 459. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined by Mr. Nick Mayo.
Bum-ba-da-dum.
Bum-ba-da-dum. Nicole is in Iceland.
Brrr.
You're listening to us on KOOP, HD1, HD3, Hornsby, and we are streaming this live at KOOP.org. Do not leave your radio.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
It is Wednesday, April 4th, 2018. On the show today, we have Capital T and their show, I and You, by Lauren Gunderson. Later on, we'll be talking to our neighbors, the City Theater Company, and their show, Bad Jews, by Joshua Harmon. And of course, we will have lively conversations with the news and views of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, and Albuquerque, New Mexico, as well as Harlingen, Texas. Stick with us. So that was Jesus Christ Superstar.
Also known as Jesus Christe Superestrella.
See, also known as the Glass Meningery. A lot of people don't know that. So Nick Mayo, checking in with you.
I'm good. Hi, Lisa Sheps.
Hi, I feel like I have not seen you in forever.
I know, it's been 2 weeks. It or 3 weeks.
Yeah. Maybe even four.
I'm happy to see you.
I'm happy to see you.
Yeah, you look
actually
good.
The last time we saw each other, we were just like this. It was just the two of us. No,
I think you're
no
right.
Nicole Shiro. Well, here we go again. Nicole is indeed in Iceland. She was going to try to Skype in because she knew we were going to be talking about
Jesus Christe Superestrella.
Superestrella. ¿Cómo se dice super en español?
Super.
I don't think so. Yo creo que it's something different.
Yeah, just letting you know.
What a great show by Kim Simpson and the International Folk Bazaar. He had live music on. I was explaining to all of our guests earlier that I understood everything they said because I was born in Rio de Janeiro.
Which is not true.
Absolutely not. let us introduce the folks that are here with us, shall we?
We shall.
Okay, first of all, we have Jim Brooks. Hi, Jim.
Brooks Laney.
Hello.
Yeah, you got to get right up into that microphone. We have David Barrera.
Hola.
Hola, ¿qué tal? Stacey Glazer.
Hi.
We have Simone Alexander.
Hi.
We have Mia King.
That would be me.
And Kenna Benefield.
Hello.
Yay, we're all here. So, now I know that all of you are either in rehearsals or in a show, but on Sunday night, there was a little show called, it was a Spanish show called Jesus Cristo.
Es Superestrella.
Es Superestrella. Who saw it? Anybody?
I did.
Oh, saw my clips. Tons
oh,
of clips.
My God. Did you see the whole thing? Did you watch it in real time?
I did.
All right. What'd you think? What was your thought?
I liked a lot about it. I really liked a lot about it. I thought they did a great job. My favorite parts were Brandon Victor Dixon, Sarah Bareilles, and John Legend. I also thought that it was really exciting. I think it's the best movie musical that they've done.
It is absolutely the best. I was all ready to hate it. Although I wanted to like it because Nicole had already stated that she was going to hate it.
Yeah.
So because she was going to hate it, I wanted to like it, mm-hmm. but I was prepared to hate it. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
Yeah.
There were some things that I would have liked to have seen different, mm-hmm. but there's nothing really terrible. And I did a lot of figuring out what made this different from others, other than the caliber of just about all the creative staff. Mm-hmm. But it had a live orchestra. It's the first mm-hmm. time that they've done that with a live orchestra. Wow. They called it a concert. It was not a concert. It was a full-blown staged musical.
Oh, yeah.
But the audience that was there, now they had Hairspray had an audience, and one of the other ones had an audience, but it was scattered about, and they treated it like
a soundstage.
So they were in different places. This was all stationed in one place. Mm-hmm. And the audience was in one place.
Yeah.
So I think that made a huge difference.
I agree. It goes back to what we talked about. It was just like, remember when the days where they would just film, whether it was Sunday in the Park with George, and you just had an audience in the audience there, their live quality was exciting. I thought they did a great job.
So I'm curious. You liked John Legend.
I did.
Now, I did not like him. I thought he sounded beautifully, but I would have rather had someone who could have acted the role a little bit better.
Yeah. I thought that his sort of... that the simplicity worked for me. And some people could say simplicity was not doing anything or not making a choice, but I enjoyed it.
Okay. I found his face blank.
I just like to look at him. I think he's real handsome.
I do too. And I love listening to his music. His tone is delicious. It's like
gorgeous.
You want to lick it like a lollipop.
Like a little lollipop. Yeah. Also, Norm Lewis. Let's not joke around.
Oh my God. Norm Lewis and Jin Ha, the two of them together. Amazing. And Norm Lewis, his range, he got the a lot of the lows of, is it Calliopus?
Yeah. And then highs.
And then at one point he hits that high tenor and you go, where does that come from? Lord.
If our listeners don't know about Norm Lewis, you can go have a good time listening to that voice, because he's been in so many things.
He's had a
particularly great year just closing Once on This Island and now this.
And he was the first person of color to play Phantom.
Yeah. Oh, man. That is a talented, talented man.
And yep. If he
a voice like butter and easy, lovely.
And those of you that watch... Scandal. Mm-hmm. He had a recurring role in Scandal as Senator so-and-so.
I thought they did a great job with this, and I also think it's their top grossing, if that's what I,
yes,
that's
it is.
What I understand.
So, what did you think of Alice Cooper?
I thought it was really kind of genius casting. I wasn't crazy about him, but I liked the idea of it more than the execution.
Wouldn't you rather seen someone like... oh my God, why did I just lose his name? He's in Boys in the Band right now. Nathan Lane.
No, Jim Parsons.
Jim Parsons, but I was thinking Nathan Lane. Jim Parsons, I think, is too young still. Yeah.
But isn't Nathan Lane in Angels in America right now?
Yeah. Alan Cumming.
Yeah.
When I said Boys in the Band, I was thinking...
She's like the other gay play.
The other gay play.
there's a lot of them on right now.
I think Alan Cumming would have been great in that role.
And is there anything he's not great in?
No, you're right. Exactly. Sarah Bareilles, I think.
I thought she was beautiful.
She was beautiful.
Beautiful.
She approached it wonderfully. Yeah. And her numbers, I just love all three of the numbers that she has, her main numbers. They're just so pretty and so lyrical, and they fit. That's when John Legend, when the two of them were together, I think that was just, it was like butter.
Yeah, I think that our theater, I mean, I love that we are an industry, an art form that says, yeah, come on in, join us. And she's a prime example of someone who's made that pop crossover from obviously being a hugely successful lyricist and recording artist to contributing greatly to the Broadway community.
Absolutely.
And the theater community. I was happy to see her continue that and get to see her act in this role. It's cool.
And then finally, the other actor I want to talk about is Ben Daniels. As Pilot.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't in part of your three that you said at the top, but I thought he was amazing, and his number was amazing.
Yeah, he was great. For me, the entire thing was about Brandon Victor Dixon.
He was amazing.
And that's like, that's another example. And I just think, and I'm not, there's nothing that I'm saying that would have the casting any other way, but you put a theater person in a theater role doing their thing that they do well. And I love that the world gets to know him, because he's been such a wonderful addition to the theater community.
One of the podcasts I listened to said, well, that's it. We're going to lose him now. We're going to lose him to Hollywood.
Well, I hope, I don't think so. I hope he's just fantastic. And I hope he gets lots and lots and lots of work from that. But someone with that amount of talent will always find their way back to.
Yeah. So I will say this. Nicole was a little worried because I forgot which she saw some pre-stuff that she didn't like. But we were texting during it, and she was very, very, very happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
She's very disappointed she couldn't be here. But the other thing that I just want to... talk about before we leave this thing was the incredible scenic and lighting elements. The technical elements of this thing were just amazing.
Word of the day.
They were just pretty cool leading up to his ascension. And I have to say, so as he was ascending up to the top, and then the set splits apart to create another cross. And I'm going, well, that's hokey, but it's sort of fun at the same time. And he like lays into that opening. So there's a man on a cross behind a opening of a cross. And then he starts to go backwards upstage. And I went, did not see that coming.
Yeah. Well, I think that part of what was successful about it and made it more successful than perhaps some of these others is that it was theatrical. So if you're going to do a live theatrical performance, let it be theatrical. Everything about what they did was could have been done in a theater. And it wasn't a theater for television. It was television showing a theatrical piece.
And okay, so here it is. For extra credit, can you tell me which performer in that show made an appearance on this show? Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, Sean Legend.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, that would be nice. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, Alice Cooper.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, Alice Cooper. That's
Jason
it.
Tam.
No, but that would have been Abby Corrigan,
all right, there
who
you go.
Played Medium Allison in Fun Home.
Oh, that's right.
And she
that's
was right. And you saw her a lot. And she was do you remember which one she was? Mm-hmm. She was the white girl, short hair, sort of sharp features.
Yeah, she's phenomenal in Fun Home too.
She did.
She's my.
She did. She did. She did. All right. Have we beaten this to get to enough? Are we done with it?
I'm happy with it. Let it go.
Well, I let it go. Speaking of Frozen. speaking of Frozen.
Yeah.
That is from Frozen, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I've only seen it. I saw the movie once. So we know it opened
never
to.
Never seen it.
Never what? Seen it. No. Oh, you've never seen it.
No.
Yeah. And nothing to see, really. So there's a great, this isn't in our notes, but there is an article in New York Times that has a video that is titled Inside Broadway's Secret Laboratory. And it is a video that's done really well. It's about a 6-minute video about 42nd Street Studios. And for those of you who don't know, and those of people of my age that lived in New York, the equivalent was 890 Broadway. Yeah. But it's where all the shows rehearse, and it's how many floors is it?
It's like four now.
It's like four floors, and it's all the major shows are rehearsing there. And this camera just took us through, and it was just a clever little thing. And you see Frozen, you see Margaritaville, you see Hamilton. Hamilton's rehearsal space has a turntable.
Of course it does. Why wouldn't it?
Because we did when in my day we didn't have that in the rehearsal space. But it's just really, really clever. And if you want to have an idea of what it's like to put together a show and the work that goes behind it, some a little bit of seeing the sausages that's being made, I'll put a link to this at offstageonair.com or you can find it on the New York Times. It's 6 minutes. It's worth every second of it, and it's so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me, I got so nostalgic. I want to be back in that world.
I'm with you.
Yep, there you go. They even had Cronuts.
Oh, Cronuts.
They even had Cronuts. Okay, three tall women.
That's still a thing?
Evidently. I don't know. I've never tried one before, so there's still a thing to me. We did have one opening on Broadway. Three rather lengthy females.
That's the title.
That's the original title.
It was...
Edward Albee decided to change it to Three Tall Women. He thinks that way. Now, Three Tall Women, I thought it was just done here recently. But I know City Theater did it in 2017. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was done just like at the end of 2017 at UT or something. But I couldn't find anything. Mm-hmm. So maybe it was City Theater. So this was...
Laurie Metcalf, Glenda Jackson, and Allison Pill, directed by Joe Mantello.
Very good. And Glenda Jackson, this is her second show back since 1992.
It's pretty amazing.
When she became an MP in the House of Lords or the House of Commons. One of those houses, spelled H-O-U-S-E.
This is one of my top things that I'm excited to see. And it got a rave review in the New York Times from Jesse Green.
It got a pretty decent review. There were some things that well, hold on. I'm going to read you something. It was a good review.
Yeah.
But what was I going to say?
I think it's the things that stuck out to me about it were just the opportunity to see Glenda Jackson on stage. Mm-hmm. Also the sort of delicate piece this is, and seeing her, I mean, it's a love letter to her, and as well as, you know, the production as a whole, and Roth's costumes,
and as well as Miriam Butler's set and Paul Gallo's lighting. Mm-hmm, they did really good. And then the three of them, all three notwithstanding, and they play A, B, and C respectively, except not respectively as you said it, because it would be B, A, and C the way you said it.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting thing. I wish I had seen it when it was here. Has anybody seen it before? Edward Albee. It's A, B, and C. A is an elderly woman, a 92-year-old who lies and says she's 91, or maybe 82 and 81.
That makes a huge difference.
But you know what? It says something about that person.
Right.
That's where their vanity lies. And that was one played by Glenda Jackson. She says... I just have to read this. Three Tall Women, a comedy about decrepitude or a tragedy about survival, depending on how you look at it, is Queen Lear in a funhouse mirror.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And he says that because Glenda Jackson came off of doing King Lear.
Mm-hmm.
Dun, dun, dun. And you are right. It was a rave review. Yeah. I had it mixed up with another one.
The idea of using her, the title of the review is something along the lines of like Glenda Jackson gets her Queen Lear, which we all talk about like as actors, like what is my Lear? What is that role that's going to, and this is her.
Okay. Nick Mayo, I'm going to give you your Lear right now.
Don't you stare at me like that.
I gave him a Lear. Anybody?
Oh, God. Why?
Anybody?
I got it.
Thank you for getting it.
Anyway, it's a cool thing. Sure. I'm glad that you got this opportunity.
I want to read one paragraph, and this was, you know, I have a on and off again relationship with Jesse Green, but I
it's
like
more
this.
On recently.
Yeah, it has been. He's coming into his own. I just love this paragraph, which talks about the difference between Act 1 and Act 2. So this is from Jesse Green. Quote, having slightly acclimatized the audience to a naturalistic comedy about the frailty of memory, Albee gleefully reshuffles the cards. After a boffo stage trick straight out of vaudeville, he lands you in a newly arranged world in which A, B, and C are no longer different women, but the same one, refracted at different ages.
I just love that.
I do too.
I've only read this play and I'm thrilled to see it. And it's such a show that I think that Joe Mantello getting his hands on would be a great treat to see. And then the three of them, how exciting. People might remember that Marion Seldes was in the original and this was a big not turning point for Marion Seldes, but a star turn for Marion Seldes in the Glenda Jackson role. So super cool.
It is a two-act show which they do not have an intermission.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And it's an hour and 45 minutes, which is kind of long to sit still. It's
a
limited run.
I'm saying from someone who's directing a 1 hour, 45 minute without an intermission, I'm like, it's perfect.
We're 1 hour, 40, no intermission.
Kind of long. You know, and as someone who runs a theater and has been doing lately 1 hour, an hour and a half shows, people are constantly getting up to leave to go to the bathroom, which I find amazing.
Our attention spans are getting smaller.
Can't hold it for an hour and a half, seriously?
No, hour and a half. 90 minutes is good. It's an hour and 45 minutes is where when you cross that 90-minute mark, that's when you go, yeah, I don't know. That's what the, so it is a limited run through June 24th. I have a feeling if the actors are available, they will extend.
Yeah, it's a great show. I'm glad that we're doing it.
Yep. Me too. Let's see, what else do I want to talk about? I have to talk about this, and this needs a vocal introduction. So hold on, here it is. I'll turn off the microphone so you guys can hear it here in the studio.
For the first time, Disney's legendary musical goes where no musical has gone. The Seventh Continent. The Lion King in Antarctica.
So did anybody hear about this?
This is a real thing?
I did. It's wild.
So Lion King is going to Antarctica, and this was the first 15 seconds of a 3-minute Disney promo about their trip to Antarctica, where they're going to have penguin dances, and they show them rehearsing like penguins. So it's very interesting. But what is interesting about this is I put this in our notes to talk about. And the very next day, which was Monday or maybe Sunday night, I learned that it was an April Fool's joke. as did many other news outlets, by the way.
It's so funny.
Very elaborate. Had anybody heard that before?
No.
I had heard of it, but
did you know it was April Fool's?
I figured it was around the same time. I was like, they done got me.
Well, did you see the one where they said Lin-Manuel Miranda's next project was The Room, the musical?
Yep.
Yeah.
So
I was buying it for a second.
I bought it.
Oh, yeah. And then I thought, like, who's going to come see that?
Well, and Antarctica has it in the little promo. They talk about how there's a population of 1,000 people in the entire continent. And if I saw this promo before I read the article, they said instead of 15 trucks, they have 25 logoed ships that they're traveling
That's
it
so funny.
With. And then they have pictures of these ships going through ice to get to where they're going. It's that's so awesome. That's something.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So that was funny. That was one of the things I wanted to talk about. Checking the time. We have time for one last thing.
One more.
And I sort of have to do this for... for Nicole. So here it is. Maybe not. Oh, wait. Here it is. No. Forget it. It went. Chung, chung.
Oh, I know.
Yay,
what you're
talking about.
I got the little sound effect. I don't know why it's not working. Okay.
Chung, chung.
Chung, chung. So there's a couple of newsy items around criminal theatrical behavior.
And we know her for Nicole loves.
She loves that. There was a man that was sentenced to 6.5 years in prison for scamming Hamilton tickets. He's guilty of defrauding 130 investors on proposed ticket resale scheme. He got several million dollars from these people saying that he was not only Hamilton, but other shows saying he had made deals. He was going to buy them and resell them. And instead he made payments on his Porsche convertible. So he pled guilty and is going to jail.
And he has
to pay
6 months of jail.
6 years, 6.5 years.
No,
he has to repay $58.8 million.
You know what? In the words of Cantor and Ebb, he had it coming.
He did have it coming.
He had it coming. And there's also a big copyright lawsuit with Anastasia. That was so the people that wrote the is filed by Etienne de Brouzeau, which is the heir of the playwright Marcel Moret, who wrote the first play in 1952 about the Grand Duchess Anastasia Nikolaevna of Russia, said that this show there's wacky schemes where they had to retain the translator for all these different things, including there's another film in 1956 and a Broadway play earlier. Huh. And this person had been retained for all that, but they weren't retained for this theatrical release. And they are going to court. Huh. And the judge said, yeah, I think there's enough evidence to prove that foul play is afoot. Chung, 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 chung. I'm going to try it again. Nope, it doesn't work. One of these buttons should work. Oh, well, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
It doesn't. I'm a failure.
Nope.
So with that, we are going to take a little break. I was going to talk about, and people can go look at it on our site, offstageonair.com, but in Chicago, Pretty Women the musical opened.
Pretty woman. Pretty woman. Walking down the street. Pretty woman.
So you know what I have to play going out of here, right?
Yeah, I know you do. I know what's happening.
Pretty young girl. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Shipps and Nick Mayo.
Hello.
Hello. You're listening to us on KOOP. You can also hear us on KOOP.org. And that is streaming. It's not streaming dead, Nick.
It's streaming live.
It is streaming live at KOOP.org. This is very weird, but my headphones are squeaking.
It's not the headphones, Lisa. We wanted to talk to you about it. You're okay. Squeaking.
Well, here, I'm just going to do this then. It didn't work then either. I thought it would. I'm a loser.
We did have to tell you that you were squeaking?
That would be really upsetting. So let's just get right into capital T, shall we?
Capital T.
Squeaky wheel gets the grease. So we have folks from Capital T as part of the Young Directors series is presenting I and You by Lauren Gunderson. And we're fortunate enough to have that young director here, Simone Alexander. Hi. And the entire cast of the show, Mia King.
Hello.
And Kenna Benefield.
Hello. How are
who
you?
I've decided I'm going to call Kenya. I just watched Blackish last night.
I get
it was
that
Kenya
so
Paris.
Much.
Well, yeah,
it's absurd.
It rolls off the tongue. Simone, I and You. Many people think that's not grammatically correct.
That's true.
What do you say to those people?
Yeah, what's hard-headed journalism? What do you, we need a comment.
It's the world of theater. Just go with it. That's what I say.
Just go with
just
it.
Just join us in our story.
So tell us a little bit about the story.
So it's about two high schoolers working on an English lit project about Walt Whitman's poem, Song of Myself. And it's a
From
love
Leaves
story.
Leaves of Grass, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Yes.
Which is not really true because you can't have leaves of grass.
Just go with it.
They don't have leaves.
Yeah, just go with
you
it.
You also can't say I and you.
Blades. You what?
I and you.
You can't say I and you can't have leaves of grass. So is there a lot of poetry in this show?
Yes.
Oh, there
definitely.
Is. There is.
So okay. Talk a little bit about the characters that you play. Mia, what's your character? She's also obviously a high school student. Tell us a little bit about her.
Yes, so her name is Caroline, and she's in her senior year of high school, but she's been dealing with a chronic liver disorder for her entire life. So she's always been sick, and that's just how it's always been. But recently it's been amping up, and her doctors have been telling her, like, look, you might not have that much longer. So she's staying at home, not going to school, trying to do school from home. But at the same time, does it really matter? Because, like, how far is she going to make it? So that's me.
And when does Kenna come in? What about you?
I come in with this project that we have to do for American Lit because I kept waiting and it was due tomorrow. So it's kind of like
a group project. It's a partner project.
It's a partner project. It's last minute and I totally like procrastinated. But I'm kind of like a cool kid who plays basketball.
Definitely cooler than Caroline.
Okay. We want to get into that. I'm going to take a quick side jump here. Kenna, before we came back from break, I asked you to choose a number between 2 and 54. What'd you say?
32.
Let's see what it is, shall we?
Hi, this is Martin Burke, and you're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin.
Martin Burke.
Martin Burke.
We like us Martin Burke.
I love Martin Burke.
We do too. He's not been on the show in a while. So, Mia, it sounds like a really, what a difficult character to play because...
It is.
How did you approach it? What did you use to find that place in yourself, to find that... Mm-hmm. I can't even come up with the words, but how did you find it?
Well, Caroline is very sarcastic a lot of the times, and she doesn't really let other people... She likes to control the room, and she doesn't want to have the other people, like, making the jokes. She does. And I go at it by looking for the light in certain situations, because Caroline doesn't want to admit... Like, I don't want to admit it, but I, as Caroline, am wanting to find the good things in life, but she's also afraid to believe them, afraid to go too far with it because they might not last. She doesn't want to build connections that are too strong with people because how long are they going to be in her life before freaking out that she has, you know, this disease?
So she's built some powerful walls. That...
Yes, that is exactly what it is.
And I'm guessing, Kenna, your character is here to tear those walls down.
Yeah, definitely doing that.
Good
a lot
guess.
Of that, trying to be like, hey, open up. We, even though we've got this project we have to do together, we can at least be like nice to each other while we do this project.
So Simone, how do you two questions. First of all, did you choose this play?
I did. Especially for this whole rehearsal time. It's been a very quick rehearsal period.
We got cast like a month ago.
Yeah,
maybe
the beginning
a
of
month
March.
And a day. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. So it's just been a really quick, so we knew that two-person play would be the best in this time frame, and they've just like stepped to the challenge and have tackled these roles so well.
And how has it been for you? I would assume the challenge of an actor finding that piece of themselves where they've got an unknown future you have to help these actors find those places.
Yeah,
how was that for you?
So, I mean, I started out as an actor before going into directing. So I love deep diving into actor analysis and character analysis. So really just creating those high stakes for them. But also the playwright, Lauren Gunderson, is just so great. And she's one of the most produced playwrights from the last year. And you can really tell that through this script. It's just an amazing script to work with. And I think that's been helpful through this whole rehearsal as well.
Cool. Now, you guys are prepared to do a little scene, yes?
We are. That is
correct. Does somebody want to set that up for us?
So basically, in a nutshell, they're working on a project. That's about all you need to know.
Okay. Yeah. So this is Mia King and Kenneth Benefield doing a scene from Capital T's production of I and You by Lauren Gunderson.
Like, this might be my new favorite thing. I need Whitman t-shirts and phone cover. No, I'm totally changing my Twitter background.
Please don't tweet Walt Whitman.
His genius must be shared widely.
Okay. Before you broadcast this, you do get that this book is, like, kind of racy, right?
What?
Dude's having a lot of sex in this.
Nuh-uh.
Oh, yes, he totally is. And I don't know, he sounds a bit gay.
Shut up, what?
Were you listening at all? Come on.
No, he is not gay. He is classic.
You know how many classic dudes were gay? Like, all of Greece.
But I don't care that he's gay. I care that he's having sex all over my brand new poem, Walter. No!
Well, people had sex back then.
But not, like, sexy sex.
They invented sexy sex.
Ew.
I can just do a quick Google check.
Do not search Walt Whitman sexy sex on my computer.
I'm just saying that it's a free love kind of poem.
No, perv. It's sweet. It's about families and America.
Yeah, but it's like throbbing.
Ew, don't say throbbing.
I'm just saying that it's passionate. He's a passionate guy. Sometimes about America and sometimes dudes.
Nope. He lusts only for America.
Oh my gosh.
What a fun scene.
Walt Whitman, what, lusty lust, would you say? Pervy perv?
Sexy sex.
No, but the funny thing is every single time we were rehearsing this, some people would like come through our room while we were, every time somebody happened to walk through the room, we were at this scene. So I would be there like, do I say it? Do not put sexy sex. And you know, the people walking by would kind of give us a look.
Awkward.
Like, it's really funny though.
We're doing this play. It's about,
you know what stuck out to me most about that is, and I have a question for you. The tempo that you guys were working at was really appealing to me.
Yeah,
talk to
definitely.
Me a little bit about the discovery of that from a director standpoint.
Well, I definitely think just the fact that they're teenagers really draws to that. They deal a lot with technology, phones, Twitter, all of that stuff. So I think it's just a natural pacing that they have with each other. But it also works for the play itself so that when they have those sweet moments and we do take a second to slow down, it's really more meaningful that way as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we are just about out of time, but I did want to touch on this is part of Capital T's annual Young Directors Project. So this is your first time directing, yes?
Yes, it is.
So tell a little bit about the process of how you got there and how you feel at this point, 2 days before opening, how you feel as a director.
Yeah, definitely. So I've directed before in college and all of that stuff, but this has been just an amazing experience from the audition process and finding them to working with all of the designers that I get to work with that have just brought this whole show to the next level. And I'm so used to working like just myself and the whole vision is myself and you have to be a stage manager, sound designer, all of that stuff. So when you have other people to collaborate with, all of a sudden you realize like, oh, this can go from just a script that you're just reading to a fully realized production that we can now bring everybody on. And I'm just so excited to bring it to everybody.
So I'm guessing this will not be your last foray into direction then.
Definitely not.
Awesome. That's good. So where you open Thursday.
Yes.
How long do you play?
2 weeks. So until April 14th, Saturdays are closing.
And where do you get, where can folks go to get more information?
CapitalT.org. Yeah.
It's CapitalT.org. And I will say that the schedule is not your typical Thursday through Sunday schedule.
That's correct.
There are some Mondays and some Wednesdays. So if people want more information, that's the place to go, CapitalT.org. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show. Break a leg on Thursday, all of you.
Thank you.
And hopefully some or all of you can stick around and join us backstage. I'll take that as a yes.
Thanks, guys.
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
That was a Simone Alexander, Kenneth Benefield, and Mia King, part of Capital T's Theater, production of I and You by Lauren Gunderson at Ground Floor Theater, April 5th through 14th. More information at capitalt.org. We will be right back.
I should tell you.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage on the Air with Lisa and Nick.
Hello.
We'll try to make this quick. We have 7 minutes to finish the local part.
There we go.
And there's stuff I want to talk about.
Talk about it.
well, first of all, we hadn't talked about this before, but at Austin, Austin Playhouse, they're doing Shakespeare in Love.
Mm-hmm.
I just loved that. Did you love the movie?
I did very much.
And it's an adaptation, obviously, of the movie. And it's been playing for a while. And it's gotten good notices here in town. It's directed by both... father and daughter, Don and Laura Toner, or actually Laura Toner Haddock. I keep forgetting to use her new last name.
Get the hyphen, Lisa.
And I've seen her new child, who's just gorgeous. Anyway, it's Austin Playhouse, and of course, my sheet doesn't say when it's playing through. Why doesn't it say that? But you can get information at austinplayhouse.org. And then also, and I was not here when you interviewed them, the Vortex, for... Oh, what's it called?
Performance Park.
I was going to say Playland Park, and I knew that was wrong.
Performance Park.
I really want to see that. Has anybody here seen it? Mm-hmm. Performance Park?
No.
We're all too busy.
Fortunately not, yeah.
We're all too busy, but it looks like a lot of fun.
It does look like a lot
of fun. I've heard it's great.
I've heard a lot of good things about it. What I find interesting, there's different levels. The tickets are at different levels, and you get different... what do they call them?
Experiences?
No, there's a different word. Yes, but different access depending on on what kind of ticket you get.
It does sound really
interesting. Sort of interesting.
Great way to upsell.
Yeah.
Right.
True. And the last thing that I wanted to talk about, which looks really interesting, and this is a Paper Chairs production of The Repentance of Saint... I lost my breath. The Repentance of Saint Joan, who everybody knows was my mom.
Yes, she was. Yep.
they're
called
doing
her mummy, though.
Center for Maximum Potential Building Systems plays through this weekend, and that looks interesting, and I think you can get more information there. You know, these things do not have... Oh, there it is. Paperchairs.com. Anything you,
yes.
Yeah.
I love this organization called Conspirare, which is not necessarily theater.
No.
But
is they're theater in the room, right?
Yes, quite theatrical. They're doing their annual Hidden Music Gala, which I'm very interested in, with some amazing performers. More information can be found at conspirare.org.
And then you will be coming on the show next week with the Tilt Performance Group, which is always one of our favorites.
Yes, next week I will be coming on with Violet, the musical from St. Ed. Sorry.
Oh, I thought we were coming on with Tilt.
Tilt isn't until the end of
Never mind. The end of May. We're coming on with Violet.
Violet at St.
Okay,
Edward's.
For some reason, I got them. I did this.
That you mixed?
Zing.
You mixed.
I did this.
You went...
We did this. So is Sutton Foster coming on?
She is.
Awesome.
She is.
Love me some Sutton Foster.
Lots of cool things going on in town.
Yep. Does anybody watch Younger, speaking of Sutton Foster?
I started, and then I stopped.
Yeah, you gotta just hate watch it all the way through. It's really quite fun. I'm having a good time. Looking forward to coming back. So let's get into Today in Theater History.
Today in Theater History.
So in 1921, Sandra Bernhardt.
What?
Okay. Sarah Bernhardt.
I was waiting for it.
Sandra Bernhardt was our legal ID last week. Which was great. Anyway, never mind. the little recording that we do, that we pick the number. We have 50 some odd of these things, and Sandra Bernhardt was one of them, and she rarely comes up. Did you know that Sarah Bernhardt had a leg amputated?
No.
She had one leg, and she did the title role in Louis Vernuel's Daniel at the Princess Theater. I'll just read this. When she found a wooden leg unwieldy, she designed a litter chair for herself and was carried around the stage.
She took the whole break a leg thing a little too seriously.
Of course, she needed no help balancing herself for curtain calls.
Of course not.
I just thought that was
awesome. I love that. That's
cool. 1964, Anyone Can Whistle, the Stephen Sondheim show. Anyone can whistle, that's what they say.
Easy.
Sleazy. It's an Arthur Lawrence story. It starred Angela Lansbury, Lee Remick, and Harry Guardino.
Oh, yeah.
Guardino is fun to say.
I mean,
it's also a chocolate. Not.
It is.
Not a chocolate.
It is not a chocolate.
No, making it.
Giordano Guardino, which was my sorority name in college.
It was not, also.
Why
not.
Wouldn't it be?
Not chocolate.
In 1971, Follies opened, speaking of Stephen Sondheim.
Waiting around.
With Roger Reese, Brian Murray, and Laura Linney. Didn't run very long.
Mm-hmm.
The revival, I think, ran longer, didn't it?
It did. Jan Maxwell, Bernadette Peters, Danny Burstein.
Danny Burstein. We'll hear a little bit of Danny Burstein in just a little second. And you know what? I totally gave the wrong people in it. I was wondering, Brian Murray and Follies? Not true. It was Alexis Smith, Gene Nelson, Dorothy Collins, and John McMartin.
Mm-hmm.
Co-directed by Michael Bennett and Harold Prince.
That would have been a fun room to be in.
It would have been. And then the previews began on this date for a little show called 42nd Street Revival in 2001.
Oh.
It won the Tony for Best Revival and ran...
At the Ford, right?
At the Ford.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it. It was good.
They called it an opulent new revival.
Miss Shirley Jones.
Yes. 2010, there was another revival of a show called Lend Me a Tenor. Ken Ludenvig... and it starred Anthony LaPaglia, Tony Shalhoub, Jan Maxwell, Mary Catherine Garrison, and Jennifer Laura Thompson. Mm. I just saw Tony Shalhoub on Theater Talk.
He's so good everywhere. In that marvelous Miss Maisel.
He's excellent
in that.
He just
brings me such joy. I love him.
Yep. And sitting with him was future Tony winner, what's her name?
The one from Miss Maisel?
No. The one from the band's visit, and she was in Indecent. I just lost her name. This is what happens. 2013, Kinky Boots opened.
Kinky Boots.
And then finally, I didn't realize this was 2 years ago. Sunset Boulevard opened.
That's crazy.
Birthdays. Jerome Wideman in 1913. Tony Perkins. Christine Lottie, 1950. Laurie Beachman. I'm so happy she's older than me, 1953. And that's it.
There's one more. 10 years ago, yesterday,
yes.
We opened South Pacific on Broadway.
You did.
Which is a really cool thing to...
And how long did y'all run?
We ran for almost 3 years.
Wow. And how long were you in it?
Almost 3 years.
Oh, were you there for the whole run?
From workshop to closing.
Oh, that's got to be sort of incredible.
It was cool. It was cool to think 10 years ago. Anyway.
Did you do the tour?
I did 6 weeks of the tour as an emergency replacement.
You didn't come here, though.
I did not.
Yeah, good.
Good. We would have kicked you out.
Kicked you right out. So doing the whole run, nobody replaced you.
Nobody.
You're replaceable.
I replaced them.
All right, well, let's hear a little bit of Danny Burstein, and then we'll come back and talk to City Theater.
I've got those. God, why don't you love me? Oh, you do. I'll see you.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nick Mayo.
How do you do, love?
Oh, I'm good. You just saved my keister, I believe. Wow, I was nowhere near right.
No.
It's funny. Okay, inside joke, which everybody will be let in on in just a moment. We've been talking to lots of folks, and we're going to switch gears and talk to the City Theater folks here. And their show that's just playing their final weekend called Bad Jews right here next door at the City Theater. And we have Stacey Glazer, who's the director.
Hello.
And we have David Barrera.
Hola.
And then we have not Jim Brooks. But Brooks, Larry, Laney?
Laney. Hello.
Yeah, you're just,
even wrote it down for you.
But it looked like Larry to me.
So here's
I don't know where I came up with Jim Brooks.
Here's the deal. I've known Brooks Laney for a little over a year now, maybe a year and change.
Yeah.
And it's one of my favorite names of recent time. Brooks Laney. What a substantial name that
Thank
is.
Thank you. Yeah.
Meant for
Congratulations,
stage.
Man.
So, my mom's maiden name is Bess, too, so...
Best Laney.
Best Laney. Laney. Maybe one day.
Yeah. I'm very was known as drive the car down the for the longest time.
Drive the car down the Laney.
Yeah, that's if I were to marry David or anybody.
You know, it's kind of like if Swoozy Swayze were to marry Patrick Swayze, she'd be Swoozy Swayze. I messed that up, but
that was
Swoozy,
a good one.
Swoozy Kurtz marries Patrick Swayze.
She'd be Swoozy,
Swoozy Swayze,
yeah.
Which just was always made my day.
Swoozy Kurtz Swayze.
Stacey.
Yes.
Bad Jews.
Yes.
Tell us about it. I'm going to guess it sounds like it might be a very, very serious Catholic drama about
Catholic. So it is billed as a comedy, but there's actually a lot of serious stuff going on with it as well. I kind of feel like it's like a little bit of both. It's just, it's life. It's mm-hmm. kind of an hour and a half of life in a really dramatic portion of their life. There's two brothers and their cousin, and the two brothers are played by David and Brooks, and their grandfather has just passed away. And he was a survivor of the Holocaust. So he had a chai, a necklace that he kept that was made out of gold during the entire war. And after the war, he comes to America. He meets their grandmother. He can't afford a ring. He proposes with the chai. And now that he has passed away, there is contention over who should get said piece of jewelry. And so you've got Judaism, as you know, has a huge spectrum, and this is kind of a condensed version of that spectrum, where you've got, on one hand, you've got Liam, who has repressed every ounce of Jewishness in himself, and, you know, he's decided he's an atheist, and he's getting a degree in cultural studies, and yet has no desire to, you know, explore his own culture. And then on the other side, you have Daphne, the cousin, who is... Oozes Jew.
Oozes Jew, also my sorority name in college.
I mean, it's true. but really, the two of them are very much two sides of the same coin. And then you've got poor Jonah, who's sort of stuck in the middle of this tug of war with this whole situation.
So are these three siblings?
No, Jonah and Liam are brothers. Daphne is their cousin.
Okay. And so, David, you play Jonah.
Yes.
Because I knew that because you, when she was talking about it, you nodded and you pointed.
Forgetting as theater of the mind.
You did a little hitch kick.
But Brooke says you don't play that role.
You don't.
Are you lying?
No, David, you play Liam.
She
has
Liam.
She said Jonah.
I play Liam.
Oh. No, but see, Dave and I were on a level because I was thinking Liam when I said Jonah. But you're right. I'm not very smart.
So you play brothers.
Yes.
Right? And so, obviously, you play Jonah.
Yes.
Talk a little bit. Obviously, you just touched base on a little bit of the differences. How does their differences in terms of how they approach their religion affect their relationship?
Take it, Jonah. Jonah does not like to be involved in mm-hmm. conflict whatsoever. So mm-hmm. a lot of it, I think, well, Jonah, he does practice a little bit, not nearly as much as our cousin Daphne. But he would not outwardly talk about it or display that in front of Liam because he knows that there will be some kind of...
conversation.
Yeah, some kind of passive-aggressive, if not just aggressive, condescending, from my point of view, how the conversation would go.
What about you?
Yeah, for me, Liam, I feel like I practice it when I'm around my family enough to just to kind of let it...
Not get the lecture from your mother.
Exactly. But as soon as I go home or as soon as I go back to my college, I'm more interested in other cultures. I major in Japanese youth culture. So, you know, like I'm interested in just the worldly things, mm-hmm. not just in terms of just one specific religion.
Seems like this kind of would be timely today as families have struggled to have conversations and holidays
Absolutely.
Over politics and now substituting that for religion. Mm-hmm. It seems like a lot of people would have an opportunity to see themselves in these characters.
Very, absolutely. Very much yes. so. I mean, it's, you know, yes, it's Jewish at its heart as far as, you know, who these people are. But I mean, you can substitute any religion and there's probably been political belief. And there's probably been some version of this conversation happening
around the
yeah. yeah, at the end of the day, it's a human story.
Yeah, sure. So you guys are prepared to do a scene, are you not?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, were you not?
Yes. Oh, yeah, no, they are.
Okay.
Yeah.
David looked at me like, what are you? Are you? Yeah. Set it up for us, please.
All right, I'll set it up. So it's the... Liam has just shown up to this tiny studio apartment in Manhattan where Jonah and Daphne have already been for 2 days dealing with their grandfather's funeral. Liam is late, didn't make it to the funeral because he was skiing with his girlfriend. And Daphne, she's really good at Jewish guilt. Mm-hmm. And so the two of them immediately... clash and butt heads, and so Liam has now decided that they're going to go down the hall to his parents' house and they're going to stay there, and so he makes Jonah go with him, and Jonah of course doesn't put up a fight, so they go into the hallway and they have this conversation.
Okay, this is David Barrera and Brooks Laney doing a scene from City Theater's production of Bad Jews by Joshua Harmon.
I can't stay in there tonight.
You can take the pullout couch.
No, I will not. Like... You're actually going to go visit her at Vassar?
I don't know.
Jonah.
She asked me to.
Just because she asked you doesn't mean that you have to go.
I know.
That's not how things work.
I know.
Jonah.
What?
You're not going.
Okay.
And if she tries to do her
she's
thing...
She's not going
to... Look, I'm staying in the apartment.
There really isn't any room in there
for... Okay, so then we'll make room.
It's just for a night or two.
Look, we can stay in the living room.
It's set up for tomorrow. Mom said... The couches aren't set up. If you start moving things around, Mom's going to freak
okay,
out.
Okay, well then I'll stay in Mom's office.
There's no floor space with her new desk.
Well then I'll sleep in the kitchen, Jonah.
Mom said that we should just stay in the...
I'll sleep on Mom and Dad's floor.
With Melody?
Why not? I don't care.
It's just for a night.
Look, I'll sleep in the bathroom. I'll sleep with my head against the toilet.
Look, you'll survive.
Look, why is that? Do you hear the language you use when you talk about her survival? Because if her parents weren't so completely tight, water totally to shape, because they can absolutely afford a hotel, Jonah, absolutely!
Look, some of us have been stuck in there with her for 2 days straight and we've survived.
Is that a dig at me?
No. I'm just saying...
Well, it sounded like a dig.
No, I'm just saying you've been here for all of 5 minutes and it's already...
And what, Jonah? What is it?
You should just relax.
Relaxed! Don't tell me to relax! This isn't a resort, man! Look, let's just make some room.
Nice. Oh,
we're all trying to make room in this world, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. Sounds great. I love the dichotomy of these two characters.
You guys have a lot of chemistry together. You guys have a lot of chemistry.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fun.
I love Brooks.
He does.
So does the whole...
I know.
We had talked a little bit about pacing earlier. Is this the whole show, this is sort of the kind of feel that we're getting in terms of pace?
No, it definitely has a lot of different levels. There's a lot of, you know, that kind of fast pacey, like arguing back and forth thing, but there's also some really, you know, kind of more softer moments, stuff where, you know, you really can reflect on, you know, what's going on. And something else that I worked really, really hard on with them is, you know, because Liam and Daphna at first glance are easily unlikable. And I wanted to make sure that I found vulnerable moments for both of them. And we really worked hard on finding, there's not a lot, but we worked hard on finding.
David is going, I am not vulnerable.
You have moments.
I'm just kidding.
It's great. So you've played 2 weeks already.
Yeah.
How have houses been and how's it been going for you guys?
3 weeks.
Oh, it's been three weeks.
And this is our last week.
This is our last weekend.
It's been going great. I think... Luckily, word of mouth has really helped us because after the first weekend went well and we had a good audience, but after second and third weekend, it's just been ramping up. It's been packed.
Our smallest audience was opening night, and that's not something you always
get. This is one of the things that happens in Austin audiences that we need to try to teach you guys to be a little bit better about that.
Yeah, get there.
Yeah, don't wait until the last weekend, you know. Speaking of that, I probably won't see it till the last week.
Well, and I'm pretty sure every single teacher at the
unlike cats,
it's a line from show.
Unlike cats. So, where can people go to get more information about the show?
www.citytheateraustin.org.
Awesome, and of course, we said we're playing through this weekend, which
April
is
8th.
The 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for
thank
being
you.
On the show.
Yeah, thank you.
We really appreciate it. Okay, that was David Barrera, Brooks Laney, and Stacey Glazer of City Theater's production of Bad Jews by Joshua Harmon. It plays through the 8th of April at City Theater. For more information, citytheater.org. We'll be
City Theater Austin.
Citytheateraustin.org. And I know that. And
I mean, we've only
been
around a couple of years.
Yeah, and it's usually me that corrects the guests about
awesome.
City Theater, so I guess I deserve that.
I'm here for you.
We will be right back.
Tell me, are you Jewish, Mr. Ford?
We are back. You're listening to Offstage in the On Air with Lisa and Nick.
Hello.
And not Nick.
Hello.
Well, we did it. Another an hour goes by too slowly.
It does.
Mas despacho.
Mas despacho, Lisa.
Mas despacho,
as
we say.
Mas despacho.
Well, remember to like us on the Facebook and tweet us on the Twitter and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You can get the podcast at iTunes. You could also get us by going to our website.
You just go to offstageonair.com and enter your name in that little box in the right-hand corner and it just show up.
It just... I can't make that sound, but it does that.
I know.
It does the thing.
Austin Modern News is next if you're listening to us on terrestrial radio. If you're on the podcast, stand by for Backstage at Offstage. We will be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. And I have to just go back to Sarah Bareilles at this point.
Do it.
I
The curtain has just come down on Confusion, the musical, the story of a hapless young woman who doesn't know how to make her electronics work. She leads herself to a Matahari guru in Madagascar, which leads her on a pilgrimage to find orange juice all around the world. Yeah, okay, that was the show. What? Anyway, the show has just come down, and we've made our way out the backstage door, and we are now backstage amongst the dumpsters. Our feet are planted firmly in puddles of unnamed liquid, and we are sitting out here talking.
Exactly.
So back here, we have Simone Alexander. Hi, Simone.
Hello.
Mia King.
Hello.
Wait, why am I not hearing you? Yeah, say that again.
Hello.
There you are. Okay. Get that microphone right in between you guys. We have Kenna Benefield.
Howdy.
We have, hold on, I got to look it up because I'm going to say it wrong. Brooks Laney.
Hello.
David Barrera.
Hello.
And Stacey Glazer.
Hi.
All of you are new to backstage with the exception of Stacey and I.
You know.
And that's why I was wondering why you're looking at me like crazy. Why are we standing out here amongst the dumpsters, you were thinking?
I mean, it's, you know.
And you didn't even recognize the show that you had just closed and stopped working on. Confusion, what? The musical.
Yeah, totally. My closed show of musicals that I do all the time.
Yeah, Stacey's known as a musical performer.
So
here's where we try to get to know a little bit about you. We've got a big group here, so we're gonna zip by as fast as we can. And I'll just grab people through no rhyme nor reason. I'll start with Brooks, which, by the way, is a great first name, too. I actually have two friends named Brooks.
I'm named after my great-grandmother.
Yeah. Oh, so. Was she Brooke, B-R-O-K-E?
Well, no.
Okay,
no.
Well, thank you for being on the show. What was it? How did that naming after go?
Well, I was originally named Tristan before I was born. They got all the bags and stuff, and then my mom's grandmother passed away like a week before I was born, and she wanted to honor her. So Here I am.
Well, good. Well, now, are you Jewish?
I am not. No.
Okay, because
that's
you
such
know,
a Jewish thing
it is.
To do.
Stacey and I just totally went there, didn't we?
Absolutely.
In Judaism, it's not law. Actually, it's
a superstition. It's tradition and a superstition. It's you name somebody after somebody who's passed away. A, to honor that person, but B, the idea is if you name somebody after somebody who's living, you're kind of cursing them to die.
Yeah.
So
to make room for you.
Name people for living people.
Yeah, it just doesn't happen. So how did so congratulations, you're now Jewish.
Thank you.
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Fort Worth, Texas.
I've heard of that place.
Yeah.
Did you do theater in Fort Worth? How many of everybody Texans? Anybody not a Texan? Nobody's not a Texan. You're not a Texan.
No.
We knew that.
I'm not a Texan as well.
Where are you from, Ken?
Seattle, Washington.
I've heard of it. So there was a sitcom in the 70s. It wasn't a sitcom. It was a drama called Here Come the Brides that took place in Seattle.
What?
So when, for some reason, anytime, and it's basically the Seven Brides for Seven Brothers story. and whenever I hear Seattle, I think of, there's a song, dun, 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 in Seattle. Anyway, so you're from Seattle.
Yeah.
Okay. It rains there. Did you know that?
Yes.
365
days a year.
What'd you say?
365 days a year.
Oh, really?
It
there's
stop.
No days without rain.
Well, some days in the summer.
That's gotta
but
be depressing.
It is depressing.
Yeah.
So, Brooks, you're from Fort Worth. Did you do theater in Fort Worth?
I did it through my schools, yeah. I never did any
that
community
counts.
Work, yeah.
Schools count. what was the first show you did? And how did you find your way in there?
I first wanted to do theater. Long story short, I had cancer when I was 10. I did a Make-A-Wish. I met Orlando Bloom, and we went to the World Carpet Premiere of
Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop you. Long story short.
Hold up.
Oh, my God.
I promise it comes together.
No. Long story short, this is a great story. It shouldn't be a short story. Well, I don't know if it's a great story. But so you had cancer. You're a cancer survivor. Mm-hmm. And you're a Make-A-Wish kid.
Yes.
Okay.
Amazing. Yes. How did I not know this?
So one
would assume, so we're not going to get to talk to any of you guys. No, one would assume that if you were a Make-A-Wish kid, that you were in pretty bad shape.
Yeah, I was given a week to live when I was diagnosed.
Oh my God.
My gosh, how old were you?
It was a week before my 10th birthday.
How terrifying for a child to go through that.
Yeah, I was pretty far along before they discovered it because it was a very, very rare form. It took like a month to diagnose because only about 200 people in the U.S. would get it a year back then. And then I got on a clinical trial, I was one of the first 10 patients on that clinical trial. It opened the week I was diagnosed, and it was 30 minutes from my house, only place in the world you could get it, and it's now the standard treatment for the form of cancer I had.
My That's lord. Amazing. Well, mazel yeah. tov for coming through it. I assume yeah. you're cancer-free since
yes.
then.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, not awesome. I mean, that's amazing. So 10 years old, your wish was to meet Orlando Bloom.
Yes, this was peak Lord of the Rings, peak Pirates of the Caribbean era. Both were overlapping. Pirates of the Caribbean 3 was just about to come out. Return of the King had come out a couple years before. And I was like, I have to meet Orlando Bloom. And then I went to he invited me to come to the world premiere of At World's End, Pirates of the Caribbean 3 with him. So I hung out with him for like an hour. Then I got to walk the red carpet, and I was like, this is like the life that I want to do. Like, this is...
You walked the red carpet.
With yes. Orlando Bloom.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
How did he smile?
Smell.
Oh, he smelled good. He smelled good.
do you think yeah. you're going to cross paths with him again? Like, if you're ever on the red carpet and...
Oh, I hope so. That's
there.
My goal.
Dude, you need to
That's
reach out to him and be like, I was that 10-year-old kid and I survived. Yeah. Like, make that a thing.
Yeah. I'm going to wait till I get my degree.
Okay. Well, so, all right. So you're 10 years old. You're walking the red carpet with Orlando Bloom. Mm-hmm. You watched the premiere of this film and you said to yourself, if I survive this, I'm getting my ass into a show. Is that what happened?
Yeah, well, I had just finished treatment. It was like a really quick turnaround. So I was back at school at this
what,
point.
What, the cure was
grade.
A quick turnaround? Like, the cure was a quick turnaround?
What
was
a quick turnaround? Or the going, like, finishing treatment and then going to the premiere.
Okay.
It was really quick turnaround. So I had just gotten back to school, and then I went to the premiere, and I was like, I'm going to be an actor. This is, like, what I'm going to do now. And then... my school district didn't offer fine arts until 7th grade, so I waited 2 years, and then I did my first show was The Telltale Heart.
Dum dum.
Wow.
Dum dum dum. Dum dum.
Yes.
Wow. All right. Can anybody top that story?
I got nothing.
No, that is amazing, and indeed, I'm not going to tell you, but Stacey's exactly right. You should reach out to him. I mean, I would want to know. I mean, yeah. That's pretty amazing. Yeah. I'm sure he has no idea that you are the incredible young actor that you have turned out to be. Well, that's...
Oh, yeah.
That he inspired you.
Mazel tov. So I'm guessing you said you wanted to wait till you graduate.
Mm-hmm.
So that leads me to believe that you're still in school.
Yes, I'm a junior at the BFA in the BFA acting program at UT right now.
Is that the University of Texas?
Yes.
Okay, it could have been something else.
Yeah. It could have been.
If you Google UT, it usually comes up University of Tennessee.
So, oh, is that right?
Yeah. When yeah.
He just came to Austin just to do this show.
Not here in Austin. Well, that is great. You're in, and what do you want to do with your degree?
So our program, we spend our last semester in LA for UTLA program, taking acting classes there. And then we have a showcase there for casting directors and agents. And if that works out well, then I'll probably stay in LA, but I'd like to go to New York.
I have a feeling that, you might have an,
you might have a connection,
into LA and use it for God's sake. Yeah. Don't be proud. Well, that is awesome. Kenya, I did it. Kenna.
I love that. It's great.
I need you to top that.
That's gonna be.
Where in Texas did you grow up? No, you grew up in Seattle. Where in Seattle, Texas?
Seattle, Texas.
I just made that up.
Like, wait a second. I know it's in Paris, Texas.
So you grew up in Seattle. Did you do theater?
No, I didn't. I started doing theater when I joined Texas. No, I moved to Texas.
You had it right. That's
yeah,
what they do.
I was like, I came, they gave me a certificate. They're like, you're part of the club. Here's a cowboy hat.
Here's a cowboy hat. turn in your horse. That's what I told my friends when I first moved to New York. Yep. I said, at the state line, you have to turn in your car for a horse.
Yep, that's what the jokes were the week before I moved. All my friends were like, you're going to have
to. So you went straight from Seattle to here?
Yes.
Are you in school here?
No, I'm not currently.
So why did you come here? Well, why did you come here?
Well, I moved here when I was a kid, so okay. Yes, I went through high school here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So what high school did you go to?
I went to John B. Connolly High School.
Okay.
It's like up north.
I know where John Connolly High School is. I know yeah. John Connolly and I are like this.
Oh, snap.
On the thumb.
Big tight.
BFF.
So did you do theater in your theater department?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Did you do musicals or just straight plays?
I did do musicals, but I was like, I didn't like... be an ensemble too much.
Okay. No.
Like, my background is in dance, and so they're like, you're a dancer, go be ensemble. I'm like, I don't want to do it.
Dancing? So are you still dancing?
Yes.
Awesome. So now are you studying voice as well as acting and dance?
A little bit, yes.
Okay.
I do bounce around from various things. I do. When I also moved down here, I started doing improv comedy and that whole thing.
Where are you doing improv?
Cold Sound Theater here. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. We love our. Who else does improv? Anybody?
Been a long time.
Improv is great. And Austin is a great improv town. They say that next to New York, Chicago, and L.A., it's us. So
yeah, that's great.
That's pretty cool. So you're just here and you're doing lots of theater. You plan to stay in Austin?
I would like to go out and see other places, like maybe L.A. or New York, but there's no guarantees.
And there's no rush, it sounds like.
Yeah, there's no rush.
Well, you're cool on your heels here.
Yeah.
Awesome. What musicals did you do in high school? What did you do before you?
Was it Charlie Brown?
I was just talking about Seussical the musical, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
It was in our Today in Theater History. I decided not to talk about.
I also did Chicago as well.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. I was one of the dancer guys.
But y'all were doing Fosse-esque choreography, so that's awesome.
Yeah.
It was fun. Chicago was the most fun I had in a musical.
Cool. We love Chicago.
Yeah.
And it's got a great history as well. So, Stacey, let me just grab you for a second. Yes, we know all about your background, but what do you like? What passions have you outside of the theater world?
Oh, God, outside of the theater world. I mean, shockingly, Judaism is actually a pretty strong.
Well, you're a teacher.
Passion. I do. I teach at my synagogue.
And who are you teaching? What grade level are you teaching?
Sixth
grade.
Yeah.
And what's the name of the school?
Agudas Achim.
Oh, you're at Agudas.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I went to a bat mitzvah at Agudas.
Which one?
It was my friend Rivka's mother. And they were like, and it went on. I'm a Reformed Jew. It went on forever. But Agudas has just a gorgeous synagogue.
Mm-hmm. And my rabbi is pretty amazing.
Yeah. True. Yeah. Is that Blumoff?
Yeah.
He's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. And have you always had strong ties to Judaism?
I really have. I mean, when I was little, before we left New York, I was at a Hebrew day school and of my own choice. I remember being four or whatever, and my parents being like, "Where do you want to go? Do you want to go to this public school or do you want to go to this Hebrew school?" And I was like, "Oh, the Hebrew school for sure." I'm like 5 years old and I just knew this. And, you know, everywhere I moved, I always found the community. I found the people, and I love that about Judaism, just the sense of community and the sense of family, no matter where you are.
Yeah, we knew that. We knew that before, you know, as everybody knows, right now is a pretty holy time for both of the major religions here. And actually, I can't say both of the major religions because Islam is a pretty major religion in this country now. So two of the major religions in this country. And I said, "Did you have a Seder?" And what did you answer me?
I went to two.
No, you see, well, that's not what you said. You said, of course.
Oh, well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. I did not have a Seder. I love me some Seders, though.
I know.
So the last question I'll have for you is not theater related. The first time you got drunk in life, when was that?
Oh, so my freshman year of college, I was in my dorm, and I was hanging out with a friend of mine in her room, and I popped across the hall to these other people's room, and they were like, "We have lemon drops, you want some?" And I was super naive and I thought they meant the candy. And so I was like, "Yeah, absolutely." And so then I went in, and it wasn't the candy, it was the shots. And I didn't want to look stupid, and so I did them. And I remember just like the world spinning and saying I was never gonna do that again.
So you didn't get drunk on Passover like the rest of us?
Because I'm always the driver.
When you were a kid?
Oh, when I was a kid, no, I really didn't. Oh. My parents would give us they gave us the Manischewitz, but it was like the little thimbleful amount. It wasn't a
My father ran a Seder like this. He said, "Let's skip to the part where we drink the wine."
Oh my God. You mean all four parts?
Yes.
I mean, it's basically like you drink an entire bottle of wine per person. Yeah.
So I was 7 years old and drunk on Manischewitz.
Yes, that's amazing.
That's pretty cool.
Well, because it tastes like juice.
Manischewitz does, yes.
Yeah.
Anybody else get drunk on Passover? No. No, David's going. Oh.
Yeah, my non-Jewish boys in my Jewish cast.
Yeah, so David, speaking of non-Jewish boys in your Jewish cast, what's your story?
In life, or where I guess theater talk, right?
Where did you? You grew up in Texas.
Grew up in Texas, Brownsville,
where?
Texas.
Brownsville,
yeah, which is basically
Mexico. I played Brownsville, Texas, in 1974.
Like as a character?
Yes, I did. I toured The Wizard of Oz, and we played Brownsville. We played That's the border town, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Brownsville, yeah. McAllen, all those.
I'm assuming in Brownsville, Camille Playhouse?
I have no idea. This is 1974. Okay. Okay. Gotcha. What, do you remember 1974?
I would assume
Camille was the year Playhouse. I was born.
I was 14.
Yeah, yeah. But I grew up there, which is interesting because you don't realize it because that's your bubble. That's where you grew up. Mm-hmm. But when I came here to UT in 2010, it showed that Brownsville was the poorest city in the nation GDP-wise, which is insane,
right.
Which was reflected in the arts, which was reflected in every aspect of the community. But I will say I've been doing theater since I was 8 years old, did community theater there in schools, and have been doing it ever since.
Awesome.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
Do you remember what drove you, what brought you there at 8? Was it just something you're... parents wanted you to do to get you out of the house, and just got the bug, or what?
Well, I mean, honestly, I was probably acting before 8. I was probably doing when I was like 4. When I was doing my little skits for my grandma and all that stuff, I was a huge Jim Carrey fan. I remember staring at the mirror and making the Jim Carrey faces that I'd see in The Mask.
That's adorable.
Yeah, and so my parents noticed that, and they're like, well, hey, there's this summer workshop if you want to do it. I said yes immediately, so at 8, they threw me in there. Now, if you ask them, they kind of regret it.
Of course they do.
Yeah. When you're 8, it's different. But when you're 18 and still wanting to do it, then that's a different story.
And so you came here to school, UT?
UT, yes.
For theater?
Originally for philosophy and psychology, and then...
Just as lucrative.
What would Sartre say about that?
That what?
I just threw a philosopher's
name. Oh, yeah, I got out of my freshman year. Then transferred into the theater department my senior year.
Awesome. Yeah. And your favorite role that you did so far? In life?
In life.
Besides the one that you're doing right now.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
Obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Hamlet. Hamlet. I did Hamlet at UT, and I was Hamlet, and...
I hate Hamlet.
Oh, I love Hamlet.
No, I was just talking about a show.
Oh, I hate it. Yeah, it's a great show, too. Yeah, it's a great show. With something Barrymore.
I was right? There with you.
Thank you.
John
Barrymore. So was Brooks. So you played Hamlet.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And yeah, with Andrew Carlson was the professor and the teacher, and he's amazing. Yeah.
Cool. All right, Simone, you're on. You're on. What's your story? What city in Texas did you grow up?
Dallas, Texas.
Is that Dallas, Washington?
No.
Okay. See,
no,
I'm just,
the real
that
Dallas,
was a callback
Texas.
To Kenna
flip,
there.
The flip.
Yeah.
Well, you said his name right.
Originally Dallas. Went to school in the Plano area, so just north of Dallas. Have been in theater literally my whole life. I started.
Literally? Like at age...
Yeah.
6 months you were in theater?
I started out as a dancer, so I was in ballet, but I started tap like in preschool. And then
okay. Who else is doing dance? I mean, we know that Kenna and Simone and Mia.
I dance like right. Elaine on Seinfeld.
Me too. That's the scary part.
That's the best kind of
Do you still take class?
No.
Okay.
I stopped ballet like elementary school and then moved into theater.
I'm just gonna throw this out there as someone that's just slightly older and not wiser at all, but continue taking class. These are chops you need, always. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
That's what I'll say. So you're a ballet dancer. Did
yeah.
you work on point? Did you get that far?
I did, mm-hmm. yes. Yeah, so now like dancer feet and all of that's jazz, but...
no pun intended.
Exactly. But yeah, I did like UIL all throughout mm-hmm. high school, and that was so much fun. And then I went to... Oklahoma City University, graduated with a BFA in acting and directing, and then met my husband, and then we moved here.
Oh, and why here?
Well, I love Austin. My mom originally grew up here. My grandparents still live here. So I've been to the city like over summers when, you know, parents just send you away for the summer, and been exploring the city, and I just loved it. And even as an adult, exploring it more and seeing how much it's grown, seeing the real like grassroots community that theater has right now in this town is something that I was extremely drawn to. It's not as like, I don't know, New York and LA cutthroat and everybody's kind of on their own path doing their own thing. And here it's really more of a family.
And you're relatively new to the city, aren't you?
Yeah, we moved in August.
Oh, we're very new to the city.
Yeah, yeah.
And is your husband also in the theater business?
He acts occasionally, but he's more into making furniture.
Oh, well, who isn't really?
That's convenient.
Exactly. Oh, so convenient. Our whole living room is beautiful creations that he's
That's
made.
That's awesome.
All right, so yeah. We know you dance. We assume you act. We know you direct. Do you also sing?
I have sang before. That is true. Yeah, I was in Oklahoma. I was in a production of Spring Awakening at Lyric Theater, which is the main regional house in Oklahoma.
Speaking of Spring Awakening, I meant to actually talk about it. Is anybody watching Rise?
Yes.
I haven't started to
yet. Who said yes? Simone? Yeah.
Yes, but I just can't with Ted, so
Exactly. He's the weakest link on the whole thing. But it's a new drama about a high school drama teacher with Ted, Ted Mosby. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. What's his name? From
Josh Radner.
Josh Radner. And
fellow member of the tribe.
Yeah, true for that. Anyway, it's I'm hate watching it, but they're doing a production of Spring Awakening, and the two kids playing the leads in that, actually all of them, the singing when they do little bits and pieces, it's such a beautiful piece.
Spring Awakening. I fall in love every time I listen to the music.
It's amazing. Mia, do you do musicals?
You dance. In theory, yes.
But not in practice?
Well, see, I started out doing basically everything in the arts. Almost everything. Everything except for like theater acting and singing. Singing was like, I couldn't do it. I was just terrified of it. Like it was a legitimate like trembling fear. Anyways, I played violin ever since first grade, piano ever since preschool, flute ever since fifth grade. I dance. My mom's actually a traditional Chinese dance teacher here in Austin. So I've been dancing since I was two. According to her, I don't remember, but I've always been dancing. What else is there? Art. I went to like actual art class.
That's from the show. What's the Mammoth show about the salesman?
Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yeah, he has that say ABD.
Always be dancing.
Always be dancing.
Oh, well, yes. I guess.
It just gets lost in translation.
Yeah. ABC, always be closing, is what the line is.
Yeah.
Sorry. So you've got a dancing background.
Yes. And but music. It's very specific. Uh-huh. It's traditional Chinese dance, which you don't see ever on the theater stage.
No, my mind immediately goes to like Japanese no. Which I know is not probably not the same. Probably nothing like it. But that's what my mind did.
Okay, yeah.
So I wouldn't be able to tell you.
Yeah, so it's completely different. Mm-hmm. So it's not like ballet. It's not jazz. It's not really anything that I would be able to do for a theater.
Right.
And I had been acting, you know, like it was the little things in the living room that I would make my cousin do with me. And I was actually geared towards film acting for forever. And I hated whenever people would be like, oh, you do films? Are you in theater? And I'd be like, no, I hate theater. Theater is so overdramatic. No, I do film because film's like where it's at. But my actual like extracurricular thing in high school was orchestra. I was like the orchestra like president my senior year and everything. So that was my extracurricular. And we went on a trip to New York City my junior year. And we were set to see a Broadway show, and I was thinking like, okay, like we'll just go in there and watch it and then we'll be done. And we were told that we were going to see a show called Newsies, and I was thinking, I literally said, like, why are we seeing Newsies? What is Newsies? Why aren't we watching The Lion King? I think I said that, and I would slap anybody who says that now. Anyways, we walked in. I didn't really want to be there, and by the time we walked out, I knew that I had to do theater.
Oh, what a great story.
Amazing.
Man, Newsies is such a wonderful... So you hadn't seen the movie prior to that, then?
I hadn't. Okay. I hadn't, but I think the thing is, the choreography really got me. You know, Christopher Gattelli's choreography. So when I walked out of the theater, I texted my best friend. Her name's Naya. I texted her, I want to do theater. I need to do theater. I need to do musicals. And since we're from Austin, I was like, musicals with Zach Theater? So I texted her, like, is it hard to get into Zach? Do you think we can do it? And she says, it's a professional theater. We're like 16. Yeah, that's hard. I was like, okay, well, that can be a goal. So I kid you not, 1 week after we get back, they send out their casting call for The King and I.
Oh, my God.
I texted her, is this it? She's like, go, do it.
Did you do it?
I went and I did it. Scariest thing I've ever done because you have to sing for the first show. Right? Uh-huh. And I was terrified, did it. Scariest thing ever. I totally went and sat on like a staircase and cried for like an hour afterwards just because it was really scary. But also because I proved to myself in that moment that if I really wanted something, which I did, I would do anything, even face my biggest fear to get there. So that was me like proving to myself that like I had that. And I was thinking, this is a good enough step for me just as a person, as a performer. I don't need to get it. I've proven this to me, and that's all I really want to do for now.
but I did get it.
Yeah.
So.
And that production, actually, and I'm not one to say a whole bunch of good things about the stuff I see at Zach, but I really enjoyed that production.
Well, I'm glad.
And the director and choreography, forgot his name, was wonderful.
Oh. Yes. Director was Abe Reibold.
Yeah.
Choreographer was Greg Zane. What's crazy is right after our show closed, Greg went to go work in New York. And so he was the assistant choreographer for King and I Broadway.
Yep.
Christopher Gattelli was the choreographer.
That's
so
right.
It came full circle.
Full circle. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that is great. We ran a little long back here amongst the dumpsters. No, it's okay. But the cool thing is, right now, I don't know if you listen really carefully, you can hear the strains of the King and I in the background.
Totally.
Can y'all hear it?
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah. Anyway, well, thank you guys for coming back here, and we'll see you next time you're backstage.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.